Well, the challenges of love that I was asked to speak about are specifically learning to speak the truth in love, dealing with issues such as being misunderstood or misjudged, how to handle rejection and persecution. And if you're dealing with conflict, you can be sure that the flesh is involved somewhere. And in our part, we just need to make sure that it's not us bringing the flesh, that we're remaining in the Spirit. So I'd like to look at Galatians 5, starting at verse 19, and I wasn't even together enough to get verses on the screen, so imagine that it's beautiful back behind me. So in verse 19, it talks about what the works of the flesh are. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, which we'll talk about, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Dealing with, when it comes to us, we want to make sure that we are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And when we're dealing with conflicts in our life, and we all have conflicts, there's not a single person, there's not a level that you attain to where you no longer have conflicts. We will always have them. But the attribute that I felt that the Lord put on my heart to share about today is the attribute of discretion. Because if you do not have discretion or use discretion, you will make a bad situation worse. And so discretion is not something our society talks much about, because it gives us just the opposite advice. The world tells us that we are to speak our minds. We are to live for ourselves. We are to tell it how it is, to live your truth. That is being women of indiscretion. Indiscretion means behavior or speech that lacks good judgment. And that is not God's way. Discretion means to separate or to discern or to sift. So if you apply discretion, you sift away what is undesirable and keep only what is good. And so as we're making decisions and listening to situations and judging and conflicts, we're sifting. And sometimes we have to sift away the better to choose the best. I was thinking while the girls were teaching yesterday of what love was and what love wasn't, it was like you have a big sifter, and you have the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit, and you're choosing the things of love, and you're letting fall out the things that are of the flesh. Discretion is the act of applying discernment. And godly discernment comes from spending time with God and listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It is the ability to apply wisdom and the word to whatever we're facing. In order to apply discretion to a situation, we need all the facts. We don't just listen to one side, make up our mind what the situation is, and then react with that. We need to be good listeners, and we need to make sure that we're hearing both sides. Because Proverbs 18:17 says, that the first one to plead their cause or case seems right until his neighbor comes and cross-examines him. We need to make sure that we listen well, listen to the Holy Spirit, and have the facts. About a year or so ago, I have an illustration of not having facts right and the problems that that can cause. A young lady had come to me and asked a question. She wanted my advice on a situation, and I was telling her, sort of like you would with your adult children, well, why don't you ask these questions, and if you get this answer, then you'll know how to act or how to respond in the situation. But I didn't have time to finish my conversation with her because we were in Israel and we were eating breakfast and it was time to jump on the bus. So in finishing my conversation, I text the last part of what I was trying to say to her in a text. And through this situation, we had been praying for this girl because we knew that she was taking steps away from the right choices. And we were praying that the Lord would rescue her. So we had been in prayer, and I had been in prayer, and I was really praying, and I had purpose not to approach her. Just if the Lord opened the door, and he did, to speak to her, that I would have that opportunity, and I did. But the answers and some of the things that I said wasn't what she wanted to hear. So she shared that text, which I had described things in the text, and I'd put them in quotes so she would know I was talking about our discussion previously, and nobody who could read that text would know what I'd already described. Only she and I knew what I had spoken about. So she shares it to this person, this man, or young man, who for whatever reason has always, maybe there's some self-seeking, but it seemed like anybody that became his friend didn't become our friend or stopped being our friend. So she shared the text with this person who took the text, and knowing the context, he knew the context because he's part of the problem. And he shared it, and he shared it, and he started counting how many people he shared it with, and he started bragging that he had shared it. My text that he thought proved that I was a gossip and a slander or whatever. And he shared it, he was like, with 30 people, I've shared this text. And he even called my sweet little nephew in Florida and tried to turn his heart towards me. So where was I going with that? But so he had this text, and he's sharing it and bragging about how I said something. It wasn't even anything inappropriate. It was just describing about pornography, basically. And so I guess that was offensive to them. So my girls got wind that. People were talking about this text. And of course, you know, being your girls, they're like, Mom, what did you do? What did you say? And I was like, I didn't say anything. It was a very nice text, I promise. No, Mom, I'm sure you said something. So I was like, okay, here's the text. Just read it and see what I said. Here it is. And they read it and they looked at me and go, this is the text? I was like, yeah, that's it. That's all I said. They're like, you were actually nice. It's like, aren't you so glad that that's the text that everybody's spreading around? You even humbled yourself and asked forgiveness. It's like, how could anybody be mad at this text? Well, the enemy can make people believe anything and see anything and believe the worst. We need to be women who believe the best. We need to be women who have the facts and apply those things and evaluate situations with God's wisdom along with self-control. Proverbs 3, verse 21 through 26 says, my son or my daughter, let wisdom and understanding and knowledge, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And I will say that the young man's actions was being a man of indiscretion, and the enemy was using him. We want to be women of discretion. Sometimes we need to know and be able to be as bold as a lion. And sometimes we need to be silent and not throw our pearls to swine. Proverbs 17:28 says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. And somebody said that I've never been hurt by anything I didn't say. Discernment is the ability to judge well, but in the Christian context, it's also that perception that we have that comes from listening to the Holy Spirit, who gives us that supernatural guidance when we're trying to discern things and situations. It's that inner knowing of when to speak and when not to, and when to act and when not to. Proverbs 17:27 says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. So as women of love and of discernment and discretion, we must not let our emotions rule us. We have to rule our emotions. And just because we know the truth doesn't mean it's always nice to speak the truth. And just because we know the answer in a conversation doesn't mean that we always need to share everything that we know. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and listen. Before we can handle conflict, we need to be like the Proverbs 31 woman, where it says she has the law of kindness on her tongue. And the law of kindness means that's how she's characterized by. She'll be a kind woman. She'll be an approachable woman. Means it's a characteristic. It's a fruit. Kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And kindness is not a weakness, because I tell you, it takes great power to be kind in the face of false accusations and misrepresentations. And extending that kindness is super important, especially if you have to go and explain the other side. Now, Pastor Chuck always said that if you defend yourself, God will let you. And so you really want God to be your defender. But in sometimes it's necessary to give people the other side of the story. Like in this situation with this young man that was sharing this text, you just have to trust the Lord with all those people. But with key people, like your worship team people, when he's friends with them and spending time with them, it was important that they heard the whole story. Because those are seeds of doubt that have been planted. And so when you have a seed of doubt that's been planted, what we do is we begin to look for those things in those people. Oh, are they that way? I never noticed. Let's try to find it. And we start looking for the bad instead of the good. But I can say that once the whole story is told, everybody's like, oh, yeah, okay, I see how this happened. And I feel like I'm innocent. I don't feel like I did anything wrong. But I will say that I did make a calculated decision in that situation to expose something that had been hidden for a long time. And in exposing that, I knew that it might cause trouble. I was hoping that if hearts were sincere, it would be observed and go, oh yeah, I can see that. But if you double down and you're not honest and you don't tell the truth, then it can cause a kerfuffle, which it did. And Mark's like, don't text things. And I was like, well, but it brought about good because it exposed what I think was a wolf in sheep's clothing and a person aspiring to be in even more leadership than they already were. Well, we need to be women with a law of kindness on our tongues. Have you ever, the opposite of that is the kind of woman that you have to walk on eggshells around them. You ever had anybody in your life like that? You're like, I wonder who they are today. It's like, are they going to be nice? Or are they in a bad mood? And their words are usually careless, and their actions, or maybe it's just their behavior. I had one friend, and you would know the mood, she'd just look at you. Pull her glasses down and stare, and you'd be like, never mind. I don't need a thing. But typically, a woman that doesn't have the law of kindness will have a sharp tongue. She'll say negative things. They're loud and say unkind things when you talk to them. They're the ones that say, well, I'm just telling it like it is, or I pride myself in speaking my mind. We hear that a lot in the South. Well, Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise woman holds them back. So how do we handle conflicts and all these different bad things that we experience? First, we need to have love for the person that we're dealing with, genuine love to see them grow and restored and walking rightly with the Lord. And the second thing is we need to pray and we need to pray and we need to pray for God's way, for God to prepare their heart for what we need to say or deal with, to have the right words and the right approach. I've found in my life that I am eager to go correct somebody that I probably shouldn't be the one doing it. But if I feel a little nudge that I need to correct something and I don't want to do it, it's like, Lord, send somebody else. Then it's probably the Lord calling me to do it and I need to take time to pray. But we should never correct with our own opinion. It should be God's word that we're using. And also, it shouldn't just be words of correction and then you walk away. If we're going to enter into having to speak words to somebody of correction, we need to be willing to come alongside and walk with them through discipleship and see them grow through it and help them learn to walk with the Lord. But we need the Lord's love and his wisdom in how to do this. I've seen people and I've had people do to me trying to do the right thing but doing it the wrong way. And I was trying to think of illustrations for that because that's also a lack of discretion, knowing the right thing but not knowing how to do it properly. One time I was in my 20s and I had a friend group, but this girl wasn't a close friend to me, but she was in a group. Her church wasn't that big. It was when I was living in New Mexico. And she said, hey, I really need to talk to you. She's kind of a rough girl. And I was like, okay. And so she made an appointment to meet with me, and I met with her, and she goes, I just really need to ask your forgiveness. And I'm like, oh, okay. I couldn't imagine what, because we hadn't had a conflict, because we really hadn't had a conversation. She goes, I just want to ask your forgiveness because I've never liked you. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, see, at that moment is the moment where your discretion can kick in. I say, well, I never liked you either. No. That's why we've never talked. No, no. No, but at that moment, you know, that's where your little discernment and filter is going in your head. How do I respond to this? What do you say? You just try to keep a calm face on the outside all the time. and smile. Wow, oh, I'm so sorry if I've ever done anything to make you not like me. So, oh no, I just misjudged you. I thought you were one way, and as I've gotten to know you, you're not that way at all. Well, that wasn't the time for me to go, well, okay, here's a lesson in how to ask forgiveness. You don't tell people the things they don't know. It wasn't like I knew she didn't like me, you know? That's between you and the Lord. So you don't go to people and say, guess what? I've never liked you. I thought all these bad things about you, but I was wrong. No, but on my part, I wanted her to have a clear conscience and learn to be able to do the right thing. She was trying. She was young in the Lord, and she was trying. But there's also another way in the church that I've seen people ask forgiveness in a wrong way. And it actually happened in that example with that young boy. It happened actually to my husband, which is fun. It's not funny, but it is funny. Glad it wasn't me. But it's when there's a conflict between two people. There's not restoration. There's not an attempt to restoration. And one of the people go to the other person and say, I just want you to know that I forgive you. That is not the right way. Because basically what that's saying is, I'm right and you're wrong. And in my magnanimous gratitude, I'm extending my forgiveness to you. But really, it's just another jab. I'm right, you're wrong, but I'll disguise it as righteousness, but a wrong, prideful act. That's not the right way. The right way is on your part to go and ask forgiveness for your part. Will you please forgive me? Ask that question and give them a chance to respond. Some people won't forgive you. That's okay. As long as you're obeying the Lord, you're right. As much as it depends on you, we are to be the ones that do the right thing. We can't worry about the other person. But if they say, yes, I forgive you, then restoration has happened. But we need to make sure that we're doing the right things the right way and not right things the wrong way. We do need to be willing in our hearts to forgive people. Matthew 6:15 says, if we don't forgive others their sins, God will not forgive us our sins. So we need to be ready and inside our heart already planning to forgive should the opportunity of restoration come. But God doesn't just forgive the whole world and sprinkle it around. He waits for us to humble ourselves in order for true restoration to occur. And the only example I was trying to think, is that true across the board that we just don't go and go, I forgive you? And that's also a heart motivation. But in cases, in court cases, I was like, well, in court cases where somebody's murdered someone's family member and the victim gets to stand up and say their speech to the criminal, I've seen a few times where they say, I just want you to know that I've chosen to forgive you for what you did in hopes that they could come to know the Lord. That's a different heart, and that's a different thing altogether. God wants us to be bridge builders, to build our little part of the bridge over for restoration. Even if you don't think you did something wrong, when I was in high school, I lived in a very rural part of Tennessee in the county. And, you know, girls fought sometimes. And so there was a little group of cheerleaders that decided, for whatever reason, I wasn't a cheerleader, and I wasn't in that circle. I was kind of pretty shy, actually. And they started kind of bullying me and bullying my little sister and, you know, would push her in the hall. And I was like, So I felt like the Lord put on my heart to call each of these girls. And I was terrified because, you know, they're the outgoing, happy, popular people. But I did. I really, really felt that the Lord had put it on my heart and to try to have as clear a conscience as I could. So I called each one and I was like, I just wanted to call them and say, ask your forgiveness. If I've done anything to offend you, would you please forgive me? And they stammered, no, you haven't hung up. Well, I never became their friend, but they never bullied me again after that. And so the Lord used that. But the reason I'm telling you that is a few months ago, one of those women came to church. She drove 2 hours from where I grew up to come to church. She said she'd been watching online and that the Lord had changed her whole life by the teaching of the word, and she was saved. And when I saw her, I didn't have that, you know, like, ugh. I remembered immediately, oh, I called you. But it was so good to be able to just like, yay, you're here. I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you're here. It was just the sweetest thing ever. So you never know when you build that bridge and nobody ever walks, meet you halfway at that time. You don't know what's going to happen years down the road. It's worth it. It's worth building those bridges. The Lord is so faithful. Well, most of the situations that we find ourselves in are due to sin and flesh and maybe reacting the wrong way, indiscretions, or not being wise, human natures. And it's rare that we're persecuted like we're seeing the world being persecuted and Christians killed for their faith. But I think the day could be approaching even here in our great country that we are living in, to where we may be persecuted. And I was reminded, I've never been persecuted. I've never, you know, we haven't been thrown into jail for my faith. I've not died for my faith, obviously. But but I have been mocked for my faith. And it's one thing if the world mocks you, you just think, you expect the world to mock you because they can't see. But when people in the church mock you, it's especially hurtful. And I don't know, I feel like I lived a whole lifetime in my 20s because that seems to be the time that the Lord did so much changing of me and working in me. And I was really living for the Lord, and I had a girlfriend, and she worked for this very wealthy businessman, and his office was at his home, like multimillionaire smart person. And we were really like misfit kind of just, you know, Santa Fe is called the city different. And when I went there, I was like, I fit. I found my people. It's just misfit people all thrown together in this pile. Well, they needed extra help, so I agreed to work in his office. I was just organizing and babysitting his child. And I'm organizing his Rolodex. Remember those paper Rolodex things if you're old enough? And I'm just standing there doing that, and he comes into the office. And he walks over to me, and he got down on the ground, and he started, like, worshiping at my feet. And then he started mocking me and saying, oh, you think you're a better Christian than I am. Oh, you think you're so great that you're right with the Lord, that you're... And I was terrified. I was in shock. You know, Matthew 5:11 says, blessed and happy are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of things falsely, but I wasn't happy. And I didn't rejoice. I just froze. So I guess if you have to do anything, it's better to freeze than to sin with your mouth and go, what is wrong with you? Are you crazy? But I didn't know what to do. So I didn't do anything because I couldn't do anything because I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, what is happening? Well, thankfully, I didn't say anything. I just went, you know, finished my day and went home. But we attended church together. I decided to cover that because love covers. Love covers. And now at this age, I look back and I think, man, he must have been convicted about something. I don't know what. But just my presence made him respond in a really weird way. But we're friends with this family even to this day, because how we respond to weird things can set the course for a lifetime. So we need to take the high road. Just to wrap things up, sometimes people just aren't going to like us, and that's okay. Sometimes people are going to misjudge us or misunderstand us. And as long as we're following hard after Jesus and doing our very best and staying humble and asking forgiveness when we need to. As a matter of fact, this teaching was so hard. I was texting everybody, I think of asking their forgiveness yesterday in case I was hindering the Holy Spirit in some way. I was like, please help me. As long as we're doing our best and staying humble and keeping our hearts right, and we live for an audience of one, as long as we're using self-control and applying wisdom and kindness and discretion when we respond, and the law of kindness is on our tongue, we're right with God, and he sees and he will deal with all these things. And the day in which we're living, we need to be able to stand firm. We may need to be able to stand alone. We need to be discerning. We need to apply discretion. We need to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. But we need to make sure that we're standing strong in the virtues of Christ, in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness, in gentleness, in self-control, but mostly in love, in his love. His love for people, his love for those that don't yet know him yet, because he loved us when we were yet sinners. We need to love the sinners, not just judge the sinners. We need to be open doors for them to come to know the Lord. We need to represent Jesus well in all situations. And if need be, we need to learn to suffer well. We can't do this in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be dwelling with Jesus. But with God, all things are possible.